Morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Andrew's Church. It is lovely to have those who are here. It is lovely to have those who are listening in. And just to let you know who's being involved in our service today, we're very thankful to have Sam, Rosemary and Yunglan leading the music. David will be leading our prayers. Trevor will be speaking from the Bible. My name's Fiona and I'll be leading the service today. In September, we have a mission focus of Jessica and Shine in Thailand and also Anglican Police Ministry. It's so important for the body of Christ to continue to look outward and to seek to share the blessings and gifts that God has given us. And so it is really helpful for us to, through the week, pray for these mission focuses as well. Here at St. Andrew's, we're a group of ordinary people who love to live God's way. And we have many, many spiritual blessings. In fact, we have every blessing in the spiritual realms. Sometimes we might forget we have them, but we do have them. Through the week last week, I was listening to the radio and they were talking about the Father of the Year. Here, we worship the Father of the Universe. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could share with more people how amazing this Father is. He is the Father who is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. And if anyone wants to be a better Father, when we are living our Heavenly Father's way, that is something which will lift us far higher than we could ever achieve in our own ideas, our own strength and our own abilities. So we want to say this morning, Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers. If you're not a father and your father is still alive, you may like to make special time to acknowledge and to thank them. But we also want to lift our eyes to the Father of the Universe who sent his Son so that we could be part of his family. In our first worship song, we have a beautiful summary of Jesus' life. Jesus was the Word of God the Father before the world began. He's the author of creation. He came down, and what he did was all for us. He has done amazing things so that ultimately he can lead sinners home. So please stand and join with us as we sing about our beautiful Saviour.
Thank you.
please have a seat as Trevi is now going to come and give us a focus for today.
Thanks, Fiona. Well, just quickly, just three little things that we're going to pick up in our Bible reading today. It's a long reading, and so I'll be reading it to us and getting us to follow it along in the Bible in front of us. But today we're thinking about the question that God desires all people of all nations to be saved. And as Fiona has reminded us at the very beginning of the service here, to look outward and to God's desire is that all people become friends with God. And you think that this would be a really easy lesson for all of us. And it is, I suppose, a lesson that's easy for us to take on board, that God desires for anyone to become a friend with God. But for those first apostles and the early church, there was something there that just made it a little bit harder for them. And we're going to ask that question, well, why? Why was it a little bit harder? And why is this good news for them as well as for ourselves? Thanks, Fiona.
I'd like to pray for our children before they head out with their leaders. Would you pray with me, please? Loving Father, we thank you that you have shared your love with the leaders of our kids' church. Thank you that they want to share your love, your truth, with the children who are here today. Please, Father, help each one of these kids and young adults realise more deeply how much you love them and choose to put their trust in you. We pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. As the children and leaders leave, please greet a few people around you. I love the words from Isaiah where we are exhorted, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous one their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have compassion on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We're just going to reflect briefly on ways we've fallen short of what God asks of us before we join in a prayer of confession together. So just a quiet reflection time. Please join with me as we all confess together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We've left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit that we may live godly, righteous and holy lives and finally come to your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Ooh. Today we continue, but we conclude our Bible teaching through Luke and Acts. We began way back in December, in Advent of last year. And we started off, you may remember, realizing that with the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the angels, the reminding prayer of Mary and of Elizabeth, and also of Simeon when he saw baby Jesus in the presence of him. He said, a light to the Gentiles, a revelation to all nations. God's desire is for all people to be saved, to be saved from the wrath of God on that day when God has appointed a time when he will judge all mankind, including ourselves, with what we have done with Jesus. And right from the very beginning, God desires that all people be saved on that day through hearing the good news about what Jesus has done because of who he is. Now, this has been a plan of God's right from the very beginning of time. It's nothing new, and we know that. We could go back to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis, to chapter 12, when God's choosing out a nation of his own through Abram. He says, I've chosen you, not because of anything you've done or any greatness about you as a people, but I've chosen you so that I will bless you, that through you all nations would be blessed. Genesis 12, verses 1 through to 7, 12 there. So right from the very beginning, as we read through the Old Testament, it's always been God's plan for all nations to hear the good news about how they can be right with God and live life God's way. And we here at Abbotsford Anglican, and for those listening in and those gathering here, we're choosing to live that way. And it began by putting our trust in the person and work of Jesus and what he did for us in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and his promise of coming again. But this was a message, this good news about all nations becoming friends with God through the work of Jesus, was something that the early apostles and the early church found hard to actually hold on to and believe. Now, Trevor, you don't mean that, do you? Surely. Yes, it is. It was hard for them. Even though they had been with Jesus and they'd seen Jesus actually mingle and mix and share with Gentiles, people who weren't Jews and those who were God-fearing, these early apostles and early church leaders found it really hard to actually get up from their pews, get up, well, they didn't have pews in those days, but get up from where they were and go out and share the gospel with people who were not Jews, who were not like them. It was really hard for them. And the question we've got to ask is why? Why was it hard for them? With the death of Stephen, we see God actually causing a great dispersion, a great spreading out of the Christians throughout. We see then before that at Pentecost, when all those who'd gathered from across the nations who were God-fearers and Jews at Pentecost to hear, they heard the wonders of God in their own languages. They've all gone back now to their own towns and sharing what they've heard. God so causing this. We've actually realized that the book of Acts is not about the acts of the apostles, but the acts of the Spirit of God. God continuing his ministry of Jesus through his Spirit in the life of the church. God will always fulfill his purposes. God's plans is always been that all people of all nations have an opportunity to hear the gospel, to have that freedom to do so. Nothing will stop God doing that. We see this in Acts. And God desires for them to be saved. And so we pick up the story today as we bring our sermon series to a close with sort of like the other bookend. The beginning, it was when we looked at Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and realizing that this child was born so that all nations would be blessed and come into a friendship with God. And today, in the reading that we have before us this morning, that I'm going to read out to us, we actually see the penny dropping. Now, you know what I mean by the penny dropping. I think we're all old enough to sort of know what that means. Sometimes when we put a coin in those old slot machines, it got stuck, and we'd have to hit the machine a few times, you know, and then the penny would drop. Ah, and the thing would start. Today, the penny drops for the Apostle Peter. Before I read, up to the point here, we see, from we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verses 11, chapter 11, verse 1 through to chapter 11, verse 18. Firstly, we're going to be looking at the fact is that Peter has been in Jerusalem, and we're going to read firstly the little story about him going off to Lydda and coming in contact with two people, and whom remarkably God, by his Spirit, does a miracle through Peter. It's not Peter, but actually God himself by his Spirit doing this. Again, in the background, we're asking our questions in the back of our minds again. Well, why was this important for Theophilus, the original reader of this gospel and Acts, to be certain of the things that he had been taught? Again, I take it again that the message taught to him by the apostles, or those who had been taught by the apostles to him, can be trusted. He can be confident of the things that he has been learned. And their message is now for us in the New Testament, in the Bibles. And we can trust it to be true too, for they were there, these particular people. And so we pick it up at verse, actually, we're going to go just before chapter 10. We're going to look at the end of chapter 9. So follow along with me there, and you'll find it in your Bibles. Verse 32 beginning. As Peter travelled about the country, he visited the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralysed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. And this is where we pick up our story today. Follow along with me. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence, but Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said, "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Three days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who was called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace. through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth with beasts, reptiles and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' And I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections, and they praised God, saying, "So then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." The Pentecostal kind of drops, doesn't it, at that point? I suppose we find it really difficult to understand. I suppose we find it difficult to sort of see, well, how was it difficult for those early apostles and those early church believers to actually accept Gentiles into their midst? I suppose, well, from what we know, at least it was according to their law and tradition. There was such a fear of associating with Gentiles, of being found to become one impure from it. But Jesus had always mingled with Gentiles and with Jews as well. And in fact, it's very interesting here that Peter actually, it's a centurion for whom Peter is told to go and see. And Jesus, one of the very first Gentiles that Jesus comes, or God-fearers, that obviously a Gentile too, that Jesus came in contact with was a centurion as well, and commended for their faith, both in this place. But it was hard for them at that early stage. But the penny's beginning for them to drop for them. They realise that God's desire is for all people of all nations to hear the good news about Jesus and be saved. I suppose there were the days when you may have been at school and you were thinking you'd love to join that handball game, or you'd love to join in with that crowd, but you found you were left out of that crowd. But when they welcomed you in, it was great, and you could be amongst them. God's desire is that even those people whom we may find difficult to mingle and mix with can come to know Jesus as well too. And so I pray in my life, Lord, help me to associate with people as well who need to hear the good news about Jesus, who I may find hard to talk with or hard to be amongst with, whom I might find difficult to bring along and hear the good news. Lord, grant me the grace to so do so with them and for them. Finally, we see it takes some time for these early church to come to that realization, but eventually they do. And guess who God uses to help them? It's Paul, who was once Saul, the apostle that's set aside for the ministry to the gospel to the Gentiles that's there. We've gone a long way from the beginning, from Luke through to the end of Acts. We've seen from the beginning of Luke that the purpose for writing his gospel in Acts was that the readers might be certain of the things they had been taught. God's desire is for all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of God, and he uses his people to do that. We're going in our couple of weeks' time, Lord willing, when we begin in November or October time, we're going to look at the letter of Ephesians. The next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking whilst we hopefully have some families come and join us from Scripture next week and the week after, and talk some stories of Jesus, parables that Jesus taught, so that they could hear the good news about Jesus. But we're going to go to the letter of Ephesians, a letter that Paul wrote, and see, again, be reminded of the gospel that we are to preach and to bring to the world around about us. Let me pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for those whom you so used in your early days of the church to bring the good news to Gentiles. This is good news for us too, for all of us are Gentiles here. And so, Father, we thank you for the one who brought the gospel to us, who heard it taught to them, who heard it read, who saw it, who was there. And we thank you, Father God, that we have been entrusted with this message too, that we can teach others in our family, in our work, in our places of pleasure and of joy. And so we ask, Lord God, so enable us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks, Fiona. You may like to lead the rest of the service for us. Thank you.
Please join with me as we say part of Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. If you are a Gentile, would you please stand as we sing our next hymn together? Well, I'm suspecting there are no Jews here.
Spread of the good news to all people and all nations, and it's like a prayer that we will be able to do that with God's strength. So we're going to sing it now. We're also going to sing it to finish off our service as a reminder as we go out that there are people who need to hear God's word. So we won't sort of, you know, split up into little bits so that you can learn it. We're just going to sing it through this time. You can go as you need to, and then we're going to sing it again at the end so you get to practice this time.
Thank you.
please join with me as we state together what we believe in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please sit or kneel for prayer. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty Creator, we praise you as the creator of all things. At a word, you created the heavens and the earth. You brought into existence all that we see and are amazed at. We are in awe of the splendor and majesty of what you have done. From the far reaches of the galaxy and the distant stars to the tiny microscopic life that teems around us, you are the author of life, and all that we see around us reveals who you are and makes yourself known. We thank you for making your eternal power and divine nature so clear by the incredible variety of your creation. We praise you and you alone, for you are the creator whose name is exalted and your splendor is above the heavens and the earth. Amen. Saving Father God, as we today consider the account of Cornelius' conversion from Acts 10, we are so thankful that across time you are calling from all the world to draw a people for yourself, even from unclean Gentiles such as ourselves. Lord God, we are humbled that you are doing this through your people, and even we have a part to play as your partners in sharing your word to the world around us. We know that our presence in the world is indispensable to the people around us hearing your gospel and being called to you. Help us to be sensitive and listen well to the people we know, so that we will understand them as individuals who are coming before their Creator. Give us confidence in explaining and clearly and completely what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we are called into community with each other to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. Give us courage to take the opportunities that surround us to bring your truth to our friends, family, colleagues and neighbours, so that they may hear your saving word and turn their lives to you. Amen. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, today we celebrate our fathers here on earth. We thank you for the families that you placed us in, and especially for our fathers and how they have reflected your love for us. Lord God, as Christian believers, a day like this draws our eyes to you and the amazing privilege we have to be called by you as your children, so then we can call you our Father. So today, Lord God, we thank you for our earthly fathers, but we particularly thank you for opening yourself to this precious relationship we have with you, thanks to Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We pray today for the Ukrainian people and ask for your intervention in this senseless war levied against them by Russia. We pray, O God, for protection and that there would be peace. We pray for restoration and renewed hope. We pray for the families and especially the children living through the horrors of war and all the upheaval and tribulation it brings. We pray for the entire world community, including the leaders in our own country. Give them wisdom and ingenuity to respond in ways that ends this war and moves us all to a world where your peace abides. Hear the cries of your people, O God. Amen. Lord God, our protector, this month we are praying for the work of the police and the chaplains who support them. We ask that you will watch over all police and law enforcement officers. Please give them the strength, courage, and perseverance to endure in the difficult role they play to maintain harmony in our society. Give them safety in their daily work. And Father, we ask that those who look to minister to them with your word and presence will do that in ways that show your care for them in this work, so that they will see your justice and mercy, your care and love for all, and that you are the ultimate judge and protector of us all. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the recent time the Thomas family have been able to have in Australia, seeing family and friends, and the opportunity this has been to talk about the work of your Spirit across Southeast Asia. As they reconnect now with their team, we ask that they'll be able to provide cohesion and the unity of purpose for the work that is ahead of them. We thank you for providing for their financial needs, and as these are about to increase, we ask that you will help them find the support to cover the new expenses that they're going to have. We ask that as Oswin and Tamman go back to school, that they will have started their school year positively and in good spirits. And we bring this before you, Lord God. Amen. Loving Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time. We bring them before you now, turning to you and trusting that you will provide what is needed for each of them at this time. Amen. Lord, our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let's join together with the set prayer for today. Almighty God, every good thing comes from you. Fill our hearts with love for you, increase our faith, and by your constant care, preserve in us the good you have given us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
It's lovely that you've been able to join us today. Thank you for coming today. If anyone has either praise points or things you would like prayed about, at the end of the service, Dick and Coral will be down the front and they love to pray with people. Thank you. It is a great joy for us to be able to give back to God part of what he has already given us. Everything we have comes from him, and thank you for supporting the ministry in this parish. After the service, please go out and enjoy the sunshine. God's been very kind to give us a break from the rain, and that would be helpful with COVID safety as well. Tomorrow night, there is a prayer meeting here, and we'd love to have you join us at 7 o'clock, just for an hour, so please come if that's at all possible. Trevor and I would really covet your prayers. We are hoping that some of the kids and maybe families of our scripture classes will join us next Sunday and the following Sunday. One of the children in my class, his parents are very clear in saying they're not Christians and they don't believe, but they still send him to scripture, so praise God for that. Please be praying that God would bring those people he wants to be here and that we would be a welcoming, loving church for them. I'll leave you to read the other announcements by yourselves. And let's be encouraged that the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. Would you please stand as we sing again, "Let Your Kingdom Come." Let's pray before we go out for morning tea. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That ends the formal part of our service, but please join us for morning tea.